On Tech News Today, Google buys an AI startup, Samsung is working on smart glasses, and an app that won't let you watch TV until after your workout. All that and more coming up next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's Monday, January 27th, 2014, and this is Tech News Today. Tech News Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other Apple products are worth at gazelle.com. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free two-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TNT1. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Mike Elgin.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Jason Howell.
Tech News Today explores the top tech news in 30 minutes or less. Google is buying DeepMind, an artificial intelligence company, for an unknown amount of money that may exceed actually $500 million. At the insistence of DeepMind, Google's agreed to set up an ethics board to make sure that the artificial intelligence is used for good instead of evil, according to reports. Joining us to talk about DeepMind is Liz Gaines, senior editor for Technology Trends and Innovation at Recode, and she broke the story about Google's acquisition of DeepMind. Thanks for joining us, Liz.
Sure. Hey.
What is DeepMind and what do they do?
So DeepMind is a company that, I have to be honest, I didn't know about. Sounds like they were pretty important in the AI world, though, and that's an increasingly important space to know about, and obviously as far as acquisitions go. They're based in London. They had a ton of AI, artificial intelligence researchers on board, and they were developing applications around e-commerce and gaming and something around images. So it's all very fuzzy because they hadn't released any products yet.
I mean, Google's a huge company. Obviously, this is something that they're interested in getting into as far as just this area of technology. Did Google not have their own internal arm that would be something like DeepMind?
Google is basically an AI company. I mean, from search to self-driving cars, you need artificial intelligence. What I heard about DeepMind is that they were one of the only companies that was successful in hiring folks against Google. They had a really strong team, and their recruiting word went pretty far in that field, which is a pretty small field.
Do you think this was an acqui-hire, or are they going to let DeepMind continue to do what they've been doing, which I don't believe involves an actual product? It involves a lot of technology development. But will they be kept as a group and allowed to continue as DeepMind, or are they just going to be shuffled into the Google artificial intelligence operation?
Well, for one thing, I mean, all these folks are based in London, so I don't think that they're going to move the whole group of them to Mountain View. I'll probably learn more about that today, but I would correct a little bit of what you just said, which is that, as I understand it, the company had a big research division with a whole bunch of PhDs, but they were actually developing some products. But those products were not released yet, so I imagine they're the kind of things that could be reworked. One specifically, just because we're talking at so high level about this, was a better product recommendation system, similar to what Amazon would do, that would be a lot smarter about what you might want to shop for. Imagine, you know, a robot who understood everything you wanted and everything you thought about, at least as far as Google could get access to that information, that would have a better idea of what you want to buy. You can imagine how that theoretically and practically, however far they've gotten on the product, would be useful to Google.
Now, as you tear away at the surface of this story and look at some of the details, they're pretty fascinating. For example, the company was founded by Demis Hassabis, I believe is how you pronounce that, who was a child chess prodigy and was the number two chess player in the world when he was 14 years old and under. There are also other interesting things. For example, their technology has been demonstrated learning to play an Atari game. So this is learning technology, essentially learns instead of just being programmed. Learned to play Atari and then became very good at it quickly. And this ability to play games has been demonstrated. Is this how do you apply something like that to anything Google might do?
Well, I think that they sound like total badass brains. I also learned last night that this guy, Demis Hassabis, is one of the world's only two grandmasters at Settlers of Catan. So I kind of want to go up against him, though I think I might lose as quickly as Bill Gates lost that round of chess this past weekend, right? Or faster. Definitely not as smart as Bill Gates. I think that Google needs to get smarter and better at understanding us. The scary thing is that I think they're already one of the best in the world at that. So now they're basically applying, I don't know exactly how many people are at this company. I know it was at least 50 people. I think there's a little bit of confusion from the folks I talked to, just because they had a lot of academic folks who may have worked part-time at DeepMind in addition to their academic appointments. But this is a whole bunch of brains, including one of the world's grandmasters of Salvador Catan and one of the best child chess prodigies when he was a child, now getting on board to try to make Google smarter. And I think that's the largest significance.
Do you think an ethics board to make sure that this technology is not used for evil is necessary?
So that's been a funny one. I have been reporting that out this morning and late last night. And, I think this is a little bit of a snippy space as far as I can tell. Everyone thinks everyone else is mumbo jumbo and full of crap because they have different solutions, but essentially no one has made a machine that can actually act like a human. Everyone's trying to get towards that point, but is upset about other people who make claims about how they're closer to that than reality because no one has actually done it yet. So I had a couple sources saying that they thought this idea of an ethics board was pure hubris. I don't know, though. I think these are smart folks. I think they probably know have something about what's going on. But the idea that you would have to be concerned about a computer acting too much like a human in the near-term future is something that even people in the space are not quite sure about yet.
So someone in our chat room named Tommy Flowers said that DeepMind owns the patent for reverse image search that Google already uses. Do you have any information on that?
I didn't know that they're licensing a patent. I'm not sure that information will be public, but if he has a link, I'd love to look into it.
And we'll look into it as well. Now, I understand also that Google was in competition with Facebook to acquire this company and that Larry Page personally intervened. How long has this been going on and who else might have been involved?
The story that I have heard is that Facebook was quite interested in this company, especially towards the end of last year. And I'm sure all options were on the table, but more specifically, I learned from people who are close to those at DeepMind that Facebook was looking at something that was much more of an acqui-hire. In fact, it might have just been trying to pluck employees out of DeepMind while DeepMind stayed intact. And DeepMind was able to kind of hang on to those employees for the meantime. But then when everyone got an offer to join Google, that proved to be more convincing.
That's fascinating. And Joe M. from the chat room points out the big fear, which is that when you apply DeepMind intelligence and learning with Google's terrifying robots acquired through Boston Dynamics, you get something very Skynet-like. And I wonder if that will dominate the conversation about all of this. Well, Liz, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's absolutely where this is going, is to a very crazy sci-fi place. And we'll see how fast it comes.
Well, thanks again. You can find Liz at Recode and also on Twitter at Liz Gaines. And speaking of Google, Google and Samsung are getting along a little better now. What's happening with those two companies?
Yeah, so Google and Samsung have signed an agreement to cross-license each other's smartphone patents. The goal, of course, being fewer court battles over intellectual property. It's time-consuming. It's expensive. The deal covers both existing patents as well as patents that will be filed during the next 10 years. But it doesn't cover all patents, not necessarily. In related news, Samsung also agreed to pay the Swedish company Ericsson $650 million upfront, plus unspecified royalties, to settle a technology license conflict. So going back to Google and Samsung, it's interesting because many people think of, well, if you think of the Android ecosystem, Samsung is such a huge player in that. But it really originates with Google. And what does it all mean? Are the two companies going to be just playing nicely with each other? Could they form some sort of a Apple-like mega company?
Well, they certainly, at the very least, I think they want to protect themselves from Apple. This feels to me like a big circling of the wagons because Apple is attacking many of these companies. And in fact, Google, Samsung, and other Android companies were sued by the Rockstar Consortium, which involves Apple and Microsoft and others. Mm-hmm. And this is part of Google, kind of, it has a new heft because of the Motorola acquisition, which came with a ton of patents. And you have to realize that any sort of smartphone device, it has hundreds or thousands of individual patentable technologies, many of which are still unresolved. So you saw in the last couple of years these companies just buying up enormous number of companies that have patents. And any company with, you know, any major company with thousands of mobile patents is going to have things that cover various things that will protect them in court. It's also kind of a situation where these companies all have a gun at each other's heads.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you have all these patents. You know, you sue me, okay, we sue you. It's the Chicago way. And so that's one element. The other element that's interesting about this is that Samsung is hedging its bets against Android with its Tizen mobile operating system, which we've talked about many times on the show. And this may make Tizen be less of a priority if Samsung feels that they're getting along with Google and they're kind of cooperating with each other. That may help Samsung continue to stay within the Android fold. Tizen has always been a plan B, and so they may not need to go to plan B if Google is being
cooperative. Does it kind of make Tizen almost seem like a bluff at this point? You know, Samsung saying, okay, all right, we're going to do our own thing, Google.
It could be a bluff, and it could be a bargaining position. It could be lots of things. It gives Samsung a little bit more independence and power. And in fact, you see Samsung kind of starting to falter in the market, and that makes a lot of sense. Samsung is not in a good position in the smartphone industry. They came on really strong and just dominated the global industry very quickly. But now they're being squeezed by the Chinese upstart smartphone companies and Apple, which is always just growing. And we're gonna hear that later today in their earnings call. I'm pretty sure they're going to announce enormous gains in market share and user numbers.
You think so?
I do.
Apple
I do
against
so.
Samsung?
Samsung's
going to feel the squeeze from Apple?
Absolutely. And, you know, you have to take it from a market-by-market perspective. A lot of Samsung gains were in places like China. Mm. And now the Chinese companies are succeeding in places where only Samsung used to succeed. Apple in China used to be a kind of an also ran. It was, I think, for a while, the number seven, number eight handset provider in that company. They since signed with China Mobile, and they've made some other deals in China, and now their Chinese market share is growing. So everybody else's market share in China is growing. Again, China, obviously, the biggest smartphone market in the world. And the same thing is being played out around the world, where Samsung used to have the low end. Now the Chinese company is going after the low end. Apple's going after the high end, and then Samsung is trying to find a way to survive all this. So it's very difficult. They're making aggressive moves. They opened last year some sort of incubator type of organizations in Silicon Valley and New York City. They want to be Apple, essentially. And Samsung, everybody wants to be Apple, where they make money on the handsets, the services, the
content,
everything. And they're really not there yet. Tizen gives them maybe some little slight advantage in heading in that direction. We will see. Well, Samsung is also working on its own version of Google Glass, and this is yet another area where, or another example where Google and Samsung are in competition, even as they partner with each other. So the Korea Times reported this story, and the product should be launched sometime in September and called Galaxy Glass. Now, this is a really interesting story, I think, because right now there aren't, you know, the whole smart glass mindshare is dominated by Google. Everybody
right.
talks about Google Glass. In fact, Google Glass doesn't exist as a generally available consumer product. It's kind of still sort of invitation only. There are some smart glass products out there that aren't really taking the world by storm. But this year, we're going to see, we've been promised, smart glass products from Epiphany Eyewear, Glass Up, Meta, Optinvent, Ion, Recon Jet, Vuzix, Aether, Technical Illusions, Isis, and Lumis. It sounds like I'm making all these. Sounds like I'm just saying
Clear Trend.
Random. But
Clear Trend and wearables.
These are just the companies that are intending to ship this year. There are also rumors that Microsoft, Apple, Sony, and Baidu are coming out with glass headsets as well. So, I mean, my question is, you know, you've been covering technology for a long time. are there just going to be way too many products for the acceptance level of this type of technology?
I think what's interesting about Google Glass is it is a controversial product. People who wear it, some people say, you know, it looks stupid, it's invasive, you shouldn't be driving, don't go to the movies. I mean, there are all of these circumstances that are arising that we've just never dealt with before. Now, that's not always good press, but it is press, and companies just jump on that sort of thing. The mere idea that Apple was working on a smartwatch, Samsung came out with their own smartwatch. Not necessarily the best product ever, but they could say that they were first. So this is, you know, it's one of those snowball effects, I think. And yeah, something like Google Glass is, it's not perfect. There are issues with it, but conceptually, it's very exciting. I mean, we're all excited about it being the product that it isn't quite yet, but it's in beta, and developers are starting to understand and get on board, and companies, of course, want to get a piece of that pie. They're not going to give it to Google. Why would they?
I would guess that these different kind of new devices that you've never seen before, you know, rarely do we get to see something that we haven't seen before. And when that happens, and especially the way Google did it, where they came out with this and it's obviously an early alpha product, and you know it's going to be a year to 2 years of development before it ever hits consumers, any hardware manufacturer sees Google, they see a new hardware kind of way of providing technology, of course they're going to jump onto it. Because if they don't, and then 2 years later it becomes the biggest thing, they've lost 2 years of development to really kind of beef it up and get it up to the point. It's kind of like the Galaxy Gear was nothing when it came out, you know, wasn't nearly as successful or as powerful in the market as Samsung probably hoped, but it was a starting point. And they are ahead of anyone who didn't get into the smartwatch, you know, game a year ago, just by putting it out there and developing on top of that.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you and I both own a Google Glass, and mm-hmm. we both don't wear it around here. We mostly don't wear it. I wear mine when I'm out and about sometimes.
Yep.
But really, if you can imagine a future where you're wearing eyeglasses, it's mm-hmm. coming, Jason. I guarantee it.
I wear it every night to bed.
Okay.
Every morning when I wake up.
All right. And imagine with the Google Glass-like functionality embedded so well into the glasses,
right,
with the electronics so miniaturized, I think millions and millions of people are going to wear Google Glass-like devices all the time simply because they'll just fit kind of right
Did
into their
eyeglasses. Did you just say you wear your Google Glass
night? No. I was going to clarify. I wear glasses in the morning and at
okay.
night. I don't wear my... Although what you're saying would kind of be true in that regard, right? At some point, this kind of technology gets shrunk down to the point to where it's just part of your glasses. And then, yes, I wake up, and the first thing I do, instead of checking my phone to see who tweeted or Google Plus or whatever, put my glasses on. There
right.
it is.
I mean, I wrote a column over the weekend about Google Glass and the fact that everybody kind of uses it as a camera,
yep,
even though it can do so much
that's
more.
How I use it.
But you can already buy and have been able to buy for 10 years glasses with cameras mm-hmm. built in. They're kind of spy shops. I've been doing them. Some sports-type-oriented things have happened. So that technology already kind of exists.
Right.
Well, coming up, we're going to talk about a brand-new social product that's going to be entering aggressively into the United States. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about this.
What is that?
What is it?
I'm glad
it
you both
It looks like a smartphone.
Asked. Yes, this is my brand-new Moto X smartphone. And this was made possible by Gazelle. And I told you about this the other day, that I was going to do this. So this is my old one. This is my new one. They're pretty much identical, except one has
except
wood
for
on the back.
Awesome
and one
backing.
Has, yeah, this has wood, and this one has sort of this rubberized back.
Right.
I like this phone. It's a very charming phone. This is the closest thing I think Android has to an iPhone in terms of charm and appeal, and you want to touch it and use it and that sort of thing. But I really wanted the wooden one. I couldn't really justify getting rid of a perfectly good phone and buying the one that I really wanted, until I remembered that Gazelle will buy my old phone. They gave me a lot of money for it. I was also eligible for an upgrade. And so getting the phone of my dreams involved actually also getting back more than $50 in total. So I'm actually
cool.
putting $53 or something like that in my pocket, and I have the phone of my dreams, and I don't feel guilty about having a perfectly good phone lying around in a box somewhere. So that's Gazelle.com. You should check it out early and often. Anytime you have any sort of device lying around, no matter what, you should always check to see how much Gazelle will give it to you. Go to Gazelle.com. That's GAZELLE.com. Enter in your item, enter in the condition of that item, and they'll tell you how much they'll give you for it. Now, you notice that I still have my old phone. The reason I still have it is because you can lock in the price for 30 days. So I locked in this price last week, and I don't even have to send it in for another 3 weeks or so, and they'll still give me the price that I was quoted no matter what. Even if the price and the value goes down between now and then, they'll still honor that original price. So I am very thrilled about it. Gazelle will give you pay you by check, by PayPal, or the best option is to get an extra 5%. They'll pay you 5% more if you get the Amazon gift card option. And you know you're going to probably buy stuff on Amazon anyway, so that's a great deal. Offers, like I said, are good for 30 days. They'll even wipe your data for free. So if I do a lousy job of wiping my personal data off this, they will do a good job and make sure that my personal data will never get out there. They have more than 700,000 very happy customers, and they've paid out more than $100 million. Most items also qualify for a free box. So find out what your phone is worth and make your dreams come true. Take a minute, go to gazelle.com and find out. Do it now because your iPhone may lose value the longer you wait. Well, what's happening in the world of social media from China?
All right. So China's Tencent Holdings, which is the company behind China's extremely popular app called WeChat, which you may have heard of, is wanting to get into the United States in a way that it is not already. So if you don't use WeChat, it is extremely popular. 272 million monthly active users. That's worldwide, which makes the app bigger than Instagram, makes it bigger than LinkedIn. It's huge, but it's not really a hit in the U.S. It's not a household name, at least not yet.
That's right. Well, they have what I think is maybe a compelling offer for some people. Their promotion is that if you can get 5 Google contacts, they're really going after the integrating with Google contacts, to join WeChat, they get a $25 restaurant.com gift card. So they're actually giving something of financial value to get people to try this.
That always smacks of desperation to me.
Yeah. Well,
and I understand that the app has many, many millions of users, so it's not as if they're trying to get popular because it is a very popular app, but when I see something like this, it's like, nobody wants that. You don't want to be that spammer that's getting all your friends to sign up so you get $25 off type thing.
That's exactly right. Now, they're really popular in China in part because they have some very China-friendly features. For example, it's very difficult in the Chinese language to text because you have to essentially enter in the pronunciation. Then you get a drop-down menu of what the options are in terms of Chinese characters, and then you select one. It's not like just typing OMG in English, which is much more text friendly. Mm. So there's a push to talk feature in this app. So you can just push and you're talking to people. It has multi chat features. It also makes a lot of creative use of QR codes because, again, the texting is anything that can be entered in through a QR code makes it easier to enter in sort of text or URLs or whatever. So it's very, very QR friendly. It does lots and lots of features. They just recently introduced games. So it's kind of like a social network. It has a payment component, so you can send and receive money and buy things. Some of these are relatively new. And it's really kind of fascinating that this app that's designed for China and is very popular around the world is making a big push for the United States. I'm not really sure why they're doing that. Like you say, it's probably not a super hungry market for this kind of thing. But I think like everybody else, they see a slow bleeding of users from Facebook and maybe they want to get some of that. And I just think it's kind of an interesting product.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about the global market because increasingly, yeah, take Facebook, for example. I mean, that's the best example of a company where it's like almost everybody in the world is on Facebook or will be in the next few years, right? Before they have their decline, according to Princeton University. But something like WeChat, as you mentioned, it's very, very popular in a country like China for specific reasons. Those reasons don't necessarily translate to the U.S. Think about the app Line, a Japanese company, very, very popular, not just in Japan, but in Asia. I've heard of it. I know what it is, but it's not a huge hit, not among my friends. And they're going to use a messaging app that's good. So how does WeChat infiltrate the U.S. market? And do they really need to? I mean, I guess you can say, yeah, on a global scale, we want to have some sort of a piece of the social networking pie of the U.S., but you've got almost 300 million users, monthly active users. Do you need the U.S. anymore?
I wonder. And they have one other count against them, which is that the app has been reportedly used by the Chinese government to censor content, censor chat content outside of China. Mm. So they may be they've been accused of censoring, you know, in Australia and other countries, conversations about Chinese issues that are sensitive to the Chinese government. Well, the NSA contractor Edward Snowden told a German TV network Saturday that the NSA engages in industrial espionage, speaking of the Chinese influence. He claimed that trade secrets from the German engineering company Siemens was one major target. So China does it. We learned recently that Russia is doing it. France has always done it. Australia does it, too. And so the question, I guess, for today is, has state-sponsored industrial espionage gone mainstream? Is this a normal activity that governments and spy organizations are now expected to engage in?
Well, I guess, I mean, let's just take it to a very basic level. When you say industrial espionage, and the fact that Edward Snowden is saying this is a really bad thing, and I'm fearful, what are we talking about?
Yeah, well, the claim here is that the NSA is going to Siemens and going into their, you know, monitoring their communications and presumably and their networks, doing the thing that it does, and then taking their trade secrets and giving them to an American company, which raises a question. If this is true, in fact, this has to be taken with a grain of salt, because this is different from the other Snowden revelations. This is Edward Snowden, the person claiming this. The other revelations are the documents that he obtained. And so the news is coming from documents, internal memos, internal horribly designed PowerPoint files and so on. And so this is a different level of bogusness than the actual documents. However, if it's true this is happening, what company is receiving trade secrets of their foreign competitors from the NSA? And you know, so we're going to need a lot of good journalism on this, folks. If you're a journalist and watching this, we need to work on this, all of us, to find out exactly what's happening here, to verify or find out that these claims are in fact not true. And then if they are true, find out who is receiving the benefits of them. So it's an interesting new component to this story. And I hope it's not true, but I suppose it could be.
Well, it sort of comes down to the whole Edward Snowden he's been right about a lot of things in the way that he says, hey, I've got these documents, here they are, and has released them in various ways. So now it turns into, do we trust Edward Snowden, the man, because now he's got this other information based on his track record.
And if he knows something that isn't related to the documents that he made available, then how did he know it? Like, how does he know what the NSA is doing with information that they harvest from foreign companies if it hasn't been documented and if he didn't see those documents himself? So it's a big question mark on this one. He also claimed in the same interview that he was being targeted for assassination, information he got from BuzzFeed. From an article in BuzzFeed.
Oh, boy.
So,
26 ways Edward Snowden has been targeted for assassination.
They claim to have quoted a Pentagon insider who made threatening noises in his direction. So that was an interesting component of this as well.
I don't really blame him for hoping that doesn't happen. And there's probably some truth to it.
Let's hope BuzzFeed is wrong in this one.
Yeah, I'd love that to be the case.
Well, speaking of a technology that is not working very well, how is China's moon rover doing? I understand it's...
Broke down, actually. Really? Glad you asked. China's official press agency reported that a mechanical control abnormality caused by the complicated lunar surface environment has shut down the Jade Rabbit rover. Not good.
Well, you know, a lot of the chatter on this on the social networks is, you know, kind of blaming China. And these kinds of things have taken place in the 60s by the United States, and you know, the U.S. has this great moon, Mars rover and so on. But I think we have to give China a break here. First of all, there's no such thing as a space program that isn't riddled with errors and problems. This stuff is really, really hard. Mm. It's really hard to launch a rover to another planetary body and put a little remote control vehicle on it and drive it around. It's very difficult. The temperatures are extreme, and it was probably temperature or environmental problems that may have sidelined this rover. And secondly, just because the United States did something in the 60s or has done something in its own space program doesn't make it easy. To a certain extent, China has to start from scratch and build this rover. So, you know, I think that any sort of exploration of space for the sake of exploration is great and should be encouraged. And, you know, everybody shouldn't pile on China and the space program for this. I think if they start mining the moon for minerals and exploiting it, that may be a different conversation. But
leave the Bay of Rambos alone.
Which, by the way, they claim they're intending to do.
Good.
But still, I don't. This is the fact that they landed the rover on the moon and that it functioned mostly, I think, is a huge achievement for China. They've come very, very far in a very short amount of time. And, you know, it's awesome because it's a space program. I'm going to tell you about something really kind of crazy for fitness buffs. You won't have to have self-discipline because this new product will do it for you. You may not like that. But first I want to tell you about Squarespace, a website that I love. And this site makes you look awesome with beautiful websites that function really, really well. Squarespace is a platform that will host your website. They'll give you all the tools you need, all the designs you need to get started with a really elegant website. Once you've got it up and once you've chosen one of the templates, you can modify it. If you're a coder and you're good at building websites, it's a fantastic site because you can customize it, program it, do anything you want with it. If you don't know anything about running a website, it's really fantastic because it will result in a website that makes you look like a webmaster, genius, engineer, designer, god. So you want to check this out. Go to Squarespace and just build a site. It'll take you a few minutes to put a site up. And once you see that what you're capable of with Squarespace, in a very short amount of time, you'll be blown away by how nice it looks, how easy it was, how reliable it is, and how cheap it is. It's only $8 a month. Of course, you can try it for free, but if you choose to sign up, it's $8 a month, and it even includes a free domain name, which even costs more than $8, if you sign up for a year. Squarespace is mobile-ready. This is really important. We live in a mobile world. We live in a visual world, and so Squarespace will enable you to build websites that look beautiful, where the pictures and visuals and designs look amazing on a tiny device, on the smallest phone, talking about the iPhone, on phablets, on tablets, on laptops, on desktops. It looks good no matter how you look at it. And that's a really important attribute these days. They have a metric app called the Squarespace Metric app for iPhone and iPad that lets you check web stats like page views, unique visitors, social media follows, and so on. And the blog app lets you check text updates, tap and drag images to change layouts, and monitor comments on the go. You want to make sure you're moderating comments, and if you can do it from mobile device easily, you'll be running a much better website. Like I said, Squarespace takes care of the hosting, and you pretty much can't bring it down. I've personally never heard of any Squarespace site that has ever been brought down or even slowed down because they automatically throw all the processing power that you need, no matter how popular your website becomes. So start a free 2-week trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code TNT1. One is for the month of January, and you'll get 10% off. And you'll also show your support for Tech News Today by using that offer code. We thank Squarespace for their support of Tech News Today. And always remember to go to Squarespace. It's everything you need to create an exceptional website. A startup called FitLime is building a TV box, an app that won't let you watch TV or play video games until you've met your daily fitness goals. It's called FitLime Aim, and it integrates with the RunKeeper app and probably in the future other apps for Android and iOS. You can also set speed and distance goals for running that will be tracked with GPS on your mobile phone. And once you've set your goals for the month and you set your restrictions, so it's all you set it up and say, okay, until I've done this, don't let me do that. Once you've set it up, it's out of your hands. The TV and video game console won't turn on unless the app has reported that you've completed your workout. So, reluctant couch potatoes, this could be your saving grace.
No longer throw away money at the gym. Make everything shut down unless you work out. I like it. Yeah. Sometimes you need a little kick in the pants.
That's right. And if you choose to not do your workout and don't get to watch TV, you know,
that's
read
right.
a book.
No maybe. Tech for you.
That's right. That's right. Well, before we end the show, I have a tip for you Moto X fans. I've been talking about the Moto X, and I love the Moto X. And it turns out that they are going to sell you a 16-gigabyte Moto X for $299. That's $100 off during a one-hour window today. The sale begins at noon Pacific time, so that's in about an hour and a half. It ends at 1 p.m. Pacific. The 32 gigabyte model will sell for $349. So go to the Motomaker site or Motorola.com to get in on this deal. Little tip for you to save a lot of money. That's pretty good. $300 unlocked for a Moto X. Also, watch for Apple's earnings report in about a half an hour. It's going to be a big Apple news day today, and we'll see what happens when they report their earnings. Well, thank you for joining us today. Make sure you send your news tips to our email address at tnt@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW and leave a message. Also, upvote the stories you'd like to see us cover on our subreddit at technewstoday.reddit.com and visit our Tech News Today Google Plus community where we're having all kinds of fun. If you haven't already, subscribe to Tech News Today at twit.tv/TNT. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.